It's the treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. Most people read books. Sam Wasson writes them. In the last 4 years, he's written three. The first, he was here for his amazing book, detective work on the making of Chinatown, The Big Goodbye. And then during that COVID era, remember that, the halcyon period back at least a year or so ago, he was here for his previous collaboration with Jeanine Basinger, Hollywood and Oral History. This is the newest book, The Path to Paradise, a Francis Ford Coppola story. This is a book about somebody who is indomitable in the most fascinating way, that every setback he manages to sort of turn into something that he can use. I've never seen anybody who, in some sort of instinctive way, knows how to pillage all the detritus and debris around him and build another empire out of it.
Wow. Yeah, that is Francis. That's exactly right. I mean, that's creativity, right? I mean, we all have to take what we have and make it into something else. That's the survival instinct. That's the artistic instinct. And most times in movie making, it's the director's instinct, because you're going to be limited by what you have, your resources, your time, the weather, etc. And Fred makes Francis one of the great improvisers, that ability to just say, okay, this is it, and we're going to go with it. Even if what he's going with is his own destruction.
To me, it's fascinating because it starts off with somebody who's trying to build a literal megalopolis.
Yeah.
And by the end, has to settle for making a fictional one.
Yeah. I started out writing this book wanting to write about Zoetrope, one of the great movie-going experiments in Hollywood post-studio era. And as I was starting to discover Zoetrope, I started to see that it wasn't just a filmmaking entity, it was a plan for living. It was a utopian undertaking. And that was only a step away from knowing that Francis was working on Megalopolis. So I went, oh my God, this is a rehearsal, a real life rehearsal for this movie. This is the petri dish for the work of his life, which is Megalopolis.
Unlike so many of the other figures that you've written about, he is really somebody who thrives on having a group of people around him,
yeah,
who are catalysts rather than employees.
Right. He is not a perfectionist, Francis, and that's partly what allows him to work the way you're describing, to really create communally. They don't work for Francis insofar as people worked for George Lucas, more of like, you know, a pair of hands or craftsmen or technicians. The people that Francis surrounds himself with are bringing their full body and soul to the project. You know, there's a funny story I have in the book when Francis is doing One from the Heart in L.A.
You have a lot of funny stories.
I have a lot of funny stories about that. But at one point, Lucy Fisher, who's running the studio, hears that the janitor has notes. And that right there is the glory and the liability of the way that Francis works. His power is multiplied by the power of everyone around him. Now, that's not how everybody makes movies. It's much more expensive to wait for the janitor's point of view, especially when you multiply that by, you know, the hundreds of people that are on a movie. But there is no Apocalypse Now without that way of working.
I think, and you report in the book that whole story about him being co-opted by a crew member who was presumably a friend. Mm-hmm. And his feelings had to be out in the way that they have to be out when you work in theater, when you know everybody you're looking to for a contribution, and you can sort of smell or sense when that relationship is going sour. And we see that in this anecdote about that in the book.
The feeling of friendship, you know, that emerges from community is so important to Francis. Maybe the most important thing, maybe more important than even art or movie making or directing. You know, one of the reasons he talked to me is because I was friends of a friend. I'm not sure Francis read my other books, you know.
Really?
I'm not sure. But we had a mutual friend, and that feeling of friendship is so who he is. It's how he thinks about the people that he works with. You know, these are my friends. It's what he lacked growing up as a boy suffering from polio. It's one of the things that he wanted me to get in this book when we first started talking. He said, you know, make sure people understand that all I wanted was to be part of the community and be part of the fun. And that's friendship.
It's the truth. My guess, who I'm sure Francis Coppola read his books, is Sam Watson. His newest book is about Francis Coppola or Francis Ford Coppola. That's all in the book, too. The book is The Path to Paradise. You can also hear the show at kcrw.com/thetreatment. But Sam, I think what's so interesting about this is that it reminds me, so many people compartmentalize Francis when they write about him. It becomes this binary thing. He's this or this. He's this mythic figure who has to consume everything around him, or he's this incompetent financier. And the fact that you're able to knit so many of these pieces together, that need to want to build a place where people feel like they can offer their best and not compete, but at the same time, there's the pressure of capitalism. It's the serpent in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
But so many of these things have been written about in just one or two ways, and you feel like you want to complete the entire picture.
I was always dissatisfied with the writing on Francis for the reason you mention, because a lot of it was informed by this idea of Francis as the bad businessman, Francis the impractical, Francis the megalomaniac, Francis the indulgent, in one compartment, as you say, and then on the other hand, it's the director of The Godfather. Well, that's not really a way to organize a life. That's part of my job, is say, well, a person is not a million different things. A person really is, if you look at it spiritually, one thing, sometimes two things if they're in conflict. So what is this one thing that is Francis is really about? It's not The Godfather. It's not money. It's building the better world. And when I figured that out, I knew that I had a view of Francis that encompassed all of it and resisted compartmentalizing.
And I think what happens so often in this book, that everything feels like the kind of defeat that would finish somebody off, he comes back from.
Yeah.
I mean, going from that episode to then making The Rain People, which is a kind of disaster in and of itself.
Yeah.
But it's also this movie that's inventing itself in real time.
Yes.
This thing you're talking about. We bring these people together who you think would never be able to work together. It's Shirley Knight and James Caan and Robert Duvall. That relationship between those two guys went on forever. And he ended up putting so many people together who became units, that he was able to not bounce back, but move forward, was just a series of continual astonishments.
Yes, maybe I am a spiritual person. I really don't know. But for Francis to be able to be destroyed and then recreate himself so many times, to have that North Star that he was always had in his sights, I can't think of any other way to describe it. Mere mortals would have been down for the count. Nobody has gambled the way that Francis has. I don't just mean financially. I mean emotionally, and I mean artistically. And nobody has suffered in this way. It really does seem to me to be spiritual. I can't describe it in any other way.
When you talk to him, do you get that sense from him when you speak to him?
No, I don't think that he thinks about it this way. But maybe that's just my own view of ambition and community building and wanting people to be together and enjoy themselves. That's maybe just my own view of what religion should be for. And I actually look to Hollywood to provide that religion. I wish Hollywood took that responsibility as seriously as it used to. And in fact, it really did. You know, the ethical impulse to make movies and bring people together, not just as audiences, but as filmmakers. I do think Francis views it that way. I don't think he would characterize it as spiritual, though.
We've talked about this before, because and it shocked you when I brought it up, that so many of the books that you've done were about people living through the end of an era.
Yeah.
And this one is a case where it's the guy who's looking for the future. I mean, he's seeing these eras end around him.
Yeah.
And he's pushing for the next iteration of that. But
these
eras refuse to die around
him. You're right. Yeah. No, that's my story, Elvis. I mean, that's definitely how I see myself, as witnessing the end of an era. I grew up around filmmakers, and for the last 40 years of my life have informally heard the conversation from all sides of the movie business tend towards the negative. And it became only natural for me to try to figure out, how did that happen? When was it positive? Is that just a fiction? Is that just a nostalgia that we have? A romance with the idea of the past? Or was it in fact actually better at some point? And it's been my obsession to really look at that as closely as possible and chart what I see as a decline with the hope, and I believe this is a hopeful book, with the hope of one day pointing us back to how we can go back. And that's part of why it's The Path to Paradise, because I do believe Francis does have an idea for how we can restart the movie business and recreate community here in Hollywood.
It's so interesting, too, because we've done with these things his way. He finds incorporated the worst disaster, and of course, one of the worst, and this whole last section of the book is basically going from one disaster to another, from one from the heart to the dissolution of Zoetrope, to selling to somebody who then he owes money to the death of his son. To me, Tucker is his most optimistic movie. It's a movie shot in the most primary colors. It's got the most sunlight in it.
Right.
And it's also about this man kind of willing this family into building this project that no one else takes seriously.
Yeah, that's it. The movie's called Tucker, A Man in His Dream. This book could have been called Francis Coppola, A Man in His Dream. And you're right about the primary colors of that movie. It really is. I never thought of it. I mean, it really is his most optimistic movie. And that's the feeling of inspiration that you get when you're with Francis. It is those primary colors. It is bursting with, let's do it, and a million different ideas coming at you at once, like Jeff Bridges in that movie. It's just an irrepressible enthusiasm. You know what I learned? Enthusiasm comes from, I guess the Greek is, entheos is the God within. And we're talking about the spiritual component of this, and the word enthusiasm so describes Francis, I wasn't surprised to learn that it comes from the concept of the God within.
It's before him reckoning with that death, which is really what The Godfather 3 is about, and this fear that the worst thing that could happen is not that, you know, everything is taken away from you, but you lose your child and you still live on after that. The horror of the last 10 minutes of that movie, which you really get, you talk about that movie here, that has never sort of been reckoned with. And you, one of the things, too, getting back to the way his life was reported, nobody thought to sort of, well, wait a second, this guy just lost a child.
Yeah.
And he's making a movie. You were the first to sort of connect that and that period to what he was dealing with in emotional
terms. Well, Francis lives his movies. He lives the movie to understand the movie. That's why they must be an improvisation, because he is doing the research of living it. Godfather, he was going through death and dying. He cast Sophia to play Michael's daughter, and she gets shot. That was part of Francis creating almost like a happening, a lived experience. And this comes out of the 60s, happening culture and community building, like we say.
You're a big boy now.
You're a big boy now. And the Rain People was a road trip to film a road trip. They didn't know where the story was going to take them, pretty much. They got in a car and improvised this story by experiencing the emotions and then putting it into the movie. So you get this feedback loop of life and movie and life and movie and life and movie. No one has said that. No, I mean, no one has said that. That is why Francis makes movies. And very few people make movies that way, because movies are so expensive. You can't just say, well, last night I had a dream. I had an argument with Eleanor that really sheds light on this situation. We're going to have to change the scene today. No, that's nuts. You can't do that. But when you're Francis, you have to do that. And that becomes the triumph. And in the case with One from the Heart, it's downfall, because the problem, the real life problem of male-female love relationships, which Francis was trying to resolve in that movie, he never managed to resolve in his real life.
One of the things that I so admire about what you've done in the book, Sam, is that you take the failures as seriously as the successes.
His
failures shouldn't be written off.
Yeah.
And just sort of attributed to either he's the crazy business person,
right,
or he was the egomaniac.
Right.
Rather than there being part of a mosaic.
I'm so glad you brought this up because it so bothers me the way that film journalists have written about Francis. And a lot of this comes, I must say, from New York and the New York Times, a view of Los Angeles and Hollywood as wasteful, extravagant, venal.
And also him coming up with that movie brat period, or that kind of behavior, that word brat was ascribed to all of those filmmakers.
Yes, look at all the money these people in Hollywood are throwing around. You know, no attempt, and I went back and I reread all of this reporting, no attempt to understand why that money was being spent the way it was, or to respect the fact that it was Francis's own money that he was spending. And they criticize him for spending money in the millions for trying to really save the movie business. And yet no one's criticized, as Francis said, for Superman 2, spending that kind of money.
And reshooting the entire movie.
So it's always shocking to me, the American antipathy to Hollywood economy, which must take risks in order for it to be good. And Francis is the perfect example of that. So I really wanted to correct that in the book and celebrate him for it.
My guest, whose newest book, because again, he doesn't write enough apparently, is Sam Watson. The book is The Path to Paradise, A Francis Ford Coppola Story. I like that. A Francis
Ford
Coppola Story.
There are many.
Yeah, and that's why I'm trying to draw attention to this. Sam Watson is its author. It's always a pleasure having you. And in person, thank you so much for doing
this. Thank you, Elvis. Thank you.
Returning guest and writer Sam Watson, whose fascination with the obsessed has led to his newest book. It's called The Path to Paradise, A Francis Ford Coppola Story. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.